the where, when, and how of true worship. True worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verse 23. The first meeting place between God and man, after man's ruin by sin, was an altar of sacrifice. Later on came God's desire for a sanctuary, that he might dwell among his people. So the tabernacle was built, according to God's pattern given on the mount. Still later, God gave instructions for the more permanent temple, which Solomon built. In the New Testament, and with the Lord's coming into our humanity, our Lord spoke of his own body as the true temple. Then later, believers were builded together into a holy spiritual temple, that from their redeemed hearts there would arise worship. God has lost the worship of men through the ruin of sin, and the whole plan of redemption was to restore men to be true worshippers. God asks and seeks for the worship of his creatures. It was about worship that the Lord spoke to the woman of Samaria. And since she was such a profligate person, we would have thought it more appropriate to have spoken to her about the new birth. A very remarkable thing in the previous chapter, chapter 3 of the Gospel according to John, our Lord is speaking to Nicodemus, the great teacher of religion in Israel. And the Lord speaks to Nicodemus about the new birth. And strangely enough, he speaks to the profligate harlot of Samaria about worship. I think if we had these situations in hand, we would certainly have spoken to Nicodemus about worship and to the woman of Samaria about new birth. But here is the wisdom of God. Why speak of worship to such a one as the woman of Samaria? Because it was in the matter of worship that the Samaritans had gone far astray. And because the first inquiry of the woman had to do with worship. I believe the Lord had penetrated this woman with very deep conviction, and made her very much alive to her sinful condition. And having desire for that living water about which the Lord had been speaking, she cried out of an unsatisfied heart, "But where do I go to get cleaned up? You Jews say in Jerusalem, that is, the temple in Mount Moriah, and we Samaritans say in Mount Gerizim, in Samaria, the temple in Samaria, where do I go?" And the Lord answered her, "Woman, the hour has come when neither in this place nor that place, it is not now a matter of place, but now it is a matter of the heart." So to this poor sinful woman, our Lord spoke of the Father, that the hour was come to worship him in spirit and in truth. He then added these remarkable words, "The Father seeketh such to worship him." What our Lord was emphasizing to this woman was the difference between outward and inward exercise, between the unreal and the real, between the unacceptable and the acceptable. Samaria and Jerusalem, with their mounts of Gerizim and Moriah, were external places where Samaritans and Jews worshipped. But God is not the God of the outward, not the God of places, but of living beings. Not the God of cities and mountains, but of the hearts and souls of men. No sites or buildings, however ornate and beautiful, can substitute for the worship of the heart. The matter of worship is neither intellectual nor aesthetic, but something essentially spiritual. Worship is not what gratifies the senses, or what is tasteful to the ear and the eye, but only what is acceptable to God. Now the question, where am I to worship? Man answers that question and answers it in his own way oftentimes. So often men have chosen a certain sacred spot where some godly man has lived, or where the footsteps of a godly man have trod, and consecrated such places by sacred rites. But God's answer to where is everywhere, on sea or land, in vale or hill, in desert or garden, on moor or fen, anywhere and everywhere. I was talking to a farmer the other day. He was telling me how he was saved by direct revelation of the Lord. He was leading a cartload of hay in his early days across a field, when suddenly the Lord made himself known to him. He stopped the horses, he fell down on his knees, and in the midst of a hayfield, he worshipped and gave his heart to the Lord, and from that redeemed heart there flowed his first expression of worship and adoration and thanksgiving. You see, in a hayfield, you can worship God in the street. You can worship him in prison. You can worship him in hospital. You can worship him anywhere. Because it is not now a matter of place, but a matter of the heart. Where am I to worship? Oh, man asks that question and again answers it in his own way so often. His answer is, at certain times, certain hours, certain days, and these often arranged by priestly authority, or by ecclesiastical law, or by traditional rule, but God's answer is, at all times, and in all seasons, and in every place. The naming of days and hours and places is indeed necessary for public gatherings for worship, as in our own assembly. But worship in itself is to be perpetual, without the restraints of time and place. All hours are holy, all days are holy, all places can be holy. One day may be set aside for corporate gatherings. One place may be set aside for corporate gatherings. But only because of order and convenience and not for restriction. How am I to worship? Man asks the question and again. He answers it in his own way so often. He may say, in certain ornate buildings, or in a pillared cathedral, with forms, ceremonies, vestments, processions, and postures. But all such performances are the will worship of man's self-righteousness. By these performances, man distorts worship. He misrepresents God. He indulges his own sensuous taste. But God's answer is clearly given by his beloved Son to the woman at the well. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's a matter of the heart. They may be in very poor garments. It matters not a thing to God. There be no accompanying music. Knees may not be bent. There may be no consecrated building. These things are nothing to God. True worship is in and from the inner man. All else is of little consequence. Shall we close with the words of a hymn by John Nelson Darby? Father, thy sovereign love has sought captives to sin gone far from thee. The work that thine own Son hath wrought has brought us back in peace and free. And now as sons before thy face, with joyful steps the path we tread, which leads us on to that blessed place prepared for us by Christ our head. Thou gavest us in eternal love to Christ to bring us home to thee, suited to thine own thoughts above, as sons like him, with him to be. O glorious grace that fills with joy, unmingled all that enter there, God's nature, love without alloy, our hearts are given in now to share. God's righteousness with glory bright, which fills with radiance all that sphere. In Christ of God, the power and light, our title is that light to share. O mind divine, so must it be, that glory all belongs to God. O love divine that did decree our part with thee through Jesus' blood. Wondrous word. Amen.